Morning. I'd like to welcome you to our services this morning here at the Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, whether you're online or you're a visitor. And if you are visiting, it's our honor to have you here. So I'd like to ask the congregation this morning, how are you doing? The official response is, you blessed. That is true. Our response here, we're blessed to have this building, the facility, this great family we have here. So as we get ready to enter into worship, I would like to read a short scripture from Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and they were asking when what the end of time was. They knew it was going to be the returning of Christ. And Jesus' response was, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." So no one knows when that day is. So let's enter into this worship like this could be that day. Thank you.
Good morning. If you're using a hymn book, we're singing number 790, and then we're going to go right into number 779. 790 followed by 779. Sing Salvation Belongs to Our God. This one will be on the overhead only.
Thanks.
sing Break My Heart, and following this song, we'll have our opening prayer.
Morning. As we go to God in prayer, I invite you to join with me. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you now thanking you for this day that you have given us to assemble together and worship you, the only true and living God. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your grace, we're thankful for your mercy, and we're thankful for your love. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with us as a body of your people in Johnson City, that we will love one another and that we will love the lost. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll be with us today as we study from your word. We pray that you'll be with Tim as he presents the lesson that is prepared. Pray, Heavenly Father, that we will glean much from your word and be able to make proper application in our lives. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those the world over who assemble on this first day of the week, some in fear for their safety. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll be with them. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with all those who seek the truth. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, of those who are sick. We pray that you will be with them, be with those that wait upon them. We pray for those that are making recovery from previous procedures. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll be with them and help them regain the strength that they desire. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of those who are shut in or not able to get out and be with us that would like to be here. We pray that you will be with them today. We pray that you will give them a good day. Most of all, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for the life that he led when he came to this world and lived the perfect life and so willingly and lovingly laid down his life for the sins of the world. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll be with us as we go forward in this worship. We pray that it brings honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you want to mark in your hymn books at this time, if you are using a hymnal, if you'll place your marker at number 453. Our song of encouragement this morning will be 453, Love Lifted Me. And once you have that marked, let's turn to number 286, Wonderful Story of Love. If it's convenient, let's stand as we sing this one. Please be seated.
We do have children's training class today. If you'd like to go ahead and take your children there. Today's scripture reading will be taken from 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us.
About that song we sang a few minutes ago, Break My Heart. Is that a request you would make of God? Break my heart? But really, sometimes that's what we need. This world can harden us to the love and the goodness that is all around us. It can harden us that we don't want to do what's good and right. And in situations like that, that is a very appropriate prayer to pray. Lord, break my heart. And I don't know about you this morning, but maybe that's a prayer you need to be saying right now as we prepare to get into God's word. Lord, break my heart. Help me to see what I need to see, whether I like it or not. If it's what I need, then Lord, bring it on. I want to know the truth. And that's why we're here, because God is a God of truth. God is a God of love. He wants to help us if we'll just let him. It is so good to have you with us this morning. We have a good number with us. We're still in travel season, but we've got a good number. And I've met several visitors with us already that I had not met before. Some that have been here before, but I hadn't seen in a while. And we're just so glad that you are here with us today. And come, be with us anytime you can. We would love that. I hope to get to meet you before you leave. If you don't have to run out right away, then please give us that chance to meet you. And if we can help in any way, please let us know that. We'll do whatever we can. All of you members, we're really glad to see you as well, of course. And all of you online, welcome. We're glad that you are joining us as well. We've been asked to lead a prayer for a particular situation, and I'm going to add a couple of things to it. But this one was handed to me just before we began worshiping by Barbara Doyle. She said, I would like to request prayers from my daughter, Megan Beavis, and her father, Andre Dumas. Andre is in the hospital with liver and kidney failure, and the diagnosis is not good. So we're going to pray in just a bit for Andre and pray that God will bless him and do whatever is right and best. Also want to ask for prayers for a lady that I worshiped with earlier this morning. I was over at the Unicoi County Jail Annex for Women, and one of our sisters in Christ there, Leah, asked that we pray for her mother. She is having some health issues, and she asked that we pray for her. And I'm going to add one that I didn't ask permission for this, but one of our brothers, Blaine Turner, is in a group that goes to fight forest fires. Also with him this morning is his friend Carter, who's worshiped with us before as well. But these fellas just got back from Colorado, where they were battling some serious fires. They're going to go back probably to Colorado, maybe somewhere else, but they routinely face very dangerous situations. And I'd like for us to pray for them, that God will watch over them as they do good work. So let's go to God in prayer right now. Our God and our Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord. You are so wonderful and great. You are the creator. You are the sustainer of our lives. And Lord, to you one day we will return. And Father, we praise you especially for your son Jesus, who gave his life for us. Lord, may we always look to him, walk in his steps, and be found in him, because there is where all the spiritual blessings are found. Father, we want to come right now exercising this gift that you have given us of prayer. We want to pray for Andre. Lord, we know the situation is very dire. The doctors have said maybe there's not much hope, but Lord, with you, there is always hope. We know that you can do all things. And we're asking, Father, if it be not against your will, that he might be given recovery, that he might be given strength and restoration. Father, bless him. And bless Barbara's daughter as she is agonizing over this situation. Just be with them, Father. Help them in the way that you know is best. We want to pray for Leah's mother. We don't know the exact nature of the problem she's facing, but Lord, please be with her and give her strength and recovery. Let all be well with her. And Father, we pray for Blaine and Carter and for others that perform these necessary services of fighting raging forest fires. We know these are very dangerous situations. They've been trained for it, but Lord, things often happen unexpectedly. We pray that you'll watch over them and bless them as they go about their work. There are so many things, Lord, in this world that need your attention, and we know you know about them. Just be with us all, Father. Be with every one of us that are gathered here to worship you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening we'll worship again at 6 o'clock, Lord willing. Hope you're going to come back and join us for that. We're going to be panning for gold tonight. Not going to be passing out pans, but I do pray that you'll bring your Bible and open it to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to go through Philippians 1 deliberately, carefully, slowly, panning for gold. And you're going to find some amazing truths in that one chapter. And that's true of any chapter in the Bible, I dare say. But tonight we're going to focus especially on Philippians 1, so I really hope you'll come back and be with us at that time. Other things going on today, you'll hear about it in the announcements, but this is the Lord's Day. Let's use it to draw closer to Him. Get your Bible out now. Let's jump into the Word. Let's hear good things from God's Word. Check me out on everything I say. Make sure that what I'm telling you is really God's Word. If it isn't, pay no attention to me. But if it is God's Word, pay all attention to Him. Let's get into that right now. A fellow by the name of Brett Alexander Hurt is described on his website as a serial tech entrepreneur. That's not the breakfast cereal, it's S-E-R-I-A-L. But he's developed and sold some large tech corporations in his time. And on his website, he makes this claim, and this is kind of serious. He said, we're being faced with technologies far more powerful than we've ever seen, spurred by the exponential acceleration of AI, robotics, quantum computing, and brain-to-computer interfaces. These advances can lead us to unprecedented prosperity, or they can magnify our deepest fears. Humanity now faces its ultimate test for survival. And it's interesting, his website is entitled loveconquersfear.org. Now, I don't know a lot about what he's talking about there, but I know that there is fear all around us. We face it on large scales from time to time. It reminds me of back in the 1990s. Some of you may remember a thing called Y2K. Y2K referred to a problem that people thought, you know, our computers were not programmed properly. And when we move from the 1999 to 2000, computers are going to shut down. And I mean, imagine today, that would be far worse than it was back in 1999. But things are going to shut down. It's going to be terrible. How are you going to get your money out of the bank? How are you going to get gas at the pump? And people were going into panic mode. And some of them became survivalists as a result of that. Well, Y2K never really developed like many thought it would. But it illustrates the fact that we often are gripped by fear, but Christians have an advantage. The world may be afraid of a lot of things. We don't have to be. We may be afraid, but we don't have to be. Because love conquers fear. And I'm not talking about our love for one another. That's part of it, maybe, but God's love for us. Love conquers fear. This is a powerful thing to realize. I urge you to follow with me in the Bible, and let's get into that right now. Let's begin by talking about the benefits of God's love in the Old Testament. There's some incidents there that really illustrate the idea, and I want to begin with that. We'll go, first of all, to Numbers chapter 22. Go ahead and be turning to that. Numbers chapter 22, we're going to look at verse 6 in a moment, but let me just set the stage. Israel is now out of Egypt. And scholars tell us there were probably millions of them. We don't know exactly how many, maybe 2 million, maybe 5 million. The numbers vary depending on who you read, but that's a lot of people. And here they are moving from one place to the other, and now they've come into the area that is ruled by Moab. Moab is, you know, one of those Canaanite nations that God was going to drive out from before the people. And the king of Moab is worried, as he ought to be. Well, they're not yet in Canaan, but they're moving in that direction. He thinks they're going to come in and take over their land. And so what do you do? Well, what he did was he hired a false prophet named Balaam. And he said, I want you to come and do a job for me. Let's read about that job in Numbers 22 and verse 6. Balak says to Balaam, come now, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them from the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. Now, was that real? No, I doubt that. I don't think that was actually how it would work, but that's what Balak thought. And he said, I want you to come and pronounce a curse on this large company of people that's moving into my land, and I'll get rid of them if you do that. And so Balaam agrees, he's going to go. But God doesn't want him to curse God's people. God wants him to bless, and that's all he can do. Every time he opens his mouth, that's all that comes out. So the second time Balaam wants him to try again, this is what we find in chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 13. Balak said to him, please come with me to another place. It didn't work where you were before. This will work better, surely. Come with me to another place from which you may see them. You shall see only a fraction of them and shall not see them all. Then curse them for me from there. Now I want you to see that here they are, probably standing on a high point, on top of a mountain maybe, top of a cliff, whatever it may be. But he can see some of them, and I wonder, could Israel see them up there? Well, maybe. If they're standing up there, he can see them. Well, they can see whoever's up there, but do they know what's going on? I don't think so. How could they know that? There is danger facing them up there, but Israel doesn't know that. And so time and again, three times, Balaam tries to curse them, but nothing but blessings comes out of his mouth. Well, let's fast forward now about 40 years and go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Now they are getting ready to go into the promised land, and Moses reminds them of that incident that many of them never knew about. I mean, how could they have known? You didn't know this danger was facing you. Deuteronomy 23, look at the latter part of verse 4 and then verse 5. They, talking about Moab, they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor, from Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse you. But the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam. Instead, the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you. Why? Because the Lord your God loved you. Because the Lord your God loved you. Even if they did know about that danger, oh my goodness, Balaam's getting ready to put a curse on us. What are we going to do? Well, again, it wouldn't have mattered if God was for them. It didn't matter who might curse them. But they would have been afraid. But you don't have to be, Moses would have said, because God loves you. And that conquers fear. Love conquers fear. Let's see some other things in the Old Testament that show this same idea. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, we're going to look at verse 3 there. Jeremiah is at the time when the people of Israel are about to go into exile. They have ignored God and his prophets for too long, and God now is ready to send them into exile. And yet he says, I'll bring you back. After 70 years are completed, I'll bring you back. And a lot of them are saying, oh yeah, right, God, you're going to forget about us. We know. You know, that's the way people are. That's the way you're going to be with us. But God says in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. I will bring you back. And God did bring them back. Why? Because I have loved you with an everlasting love. Again, though you might have been afraid you're going to abandon us, you're going to forget about us down there in Babylon. No, God loves them. He's not going to forget about them. There's an illustration of this in Zechariah toward the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 3, Zechariah sees this vision. He sees Satan standing and accusing the high priest at that time, whose name was Joshua. Zechariah 3, beginning in verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. How would you like to know that Satan is pointing his finger at you, accusing you? And you know, he's right. I'm guilty. And that was the case with Joshua. He was defiled. He was covered with filth that it shows us in his garments and so on. He's not fit to serve God. So I'm afraid. What's God going to do to me now? Look at verse 4. In verse 4 of Zechariah 3, the angel said to those who were standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments. I will clothe you with pure vestments or clothing. Now, what did Joshua do to deserve that? Nothing. It was all because of God and his love for his people, Judah, who had returned from exile. He wanted them to succeed. Satan was not going to get the upper hand, and so God intervened. And again, it was because of his love. Now let's turn to Psalm 103. I want you to really meditate on this. You might want to read the entire psalm later today. But Psalm 103, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 14. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 14. And David is the writer, we're told, and just listen to God's love described in this passage. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Those are so encouraging, those words so uplifting. You know, I know I've messed up. I know I've failed God on numerous occasions. And yet God's steadfast love, he's like a father to me. He shows compassion, tender compassion. He forgives my sins. What a wonderful God. What great love he has shown to us. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, let's take one more step here as we think about Old Testament statements of God's love. Let's just ask, why was God, you know, why did he choose this nation, Israel? They must have really been something special, right? A large nation, powerful, gifted in so many ways. Well, let's let Moses answer that question, speaking for God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 7 and the first part of verse 8. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all people. But it is because the Lord loves you. That's why God chose you, because he loves you. And that could apply to us, couldn't it? I mean, we look at ourselves, I'm not anything special. I mean, the world looks at me and says, you're not very impressive. Or you just get out of our sight. We're not interested in you. That's not God. God sets his love on us. God chooses us because he loves us, not because we have shown ourselves extraordinary or outstanding, but because the Lord loves us. So now let's move to the main point here, and that is God's love can conquer our fears. God's love can conquer our fears. Let's hear first from Jesus, the one who really speaks this message clearly. Luke chapter 12, verses 32 and 33. Luke chapter 12, verses 32 and 33. In fact, this dovetails really nicely with what we just read in Deuteronomy, because it said there, you were few in number. Well, listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 32. Fear not, little flock. Christianity is not the majority in the world. Christianity is not the majority. In fact, Jesus said, few there be that find that path that leads to everlasting life. But he says, Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Now we might say, wait a minute, sell your possessions, I would have nothing. No, God will provide you with a money bag that does not grow old. He will provide us with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, and no thief, no moth can destroy what we've got. God will take care of us. That's Jesus talking. And why would God do that? It is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He loves us. What an amazing fact. And then in John chapter 14 and verse 23, again, Jesus speaking. John chapter 14 and verse 23, he makes this extraordinary claim. Listen to what he says. If anyone loves me, that applies to us. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You mean God would move in with me? Essentially, that's what he's saying. God will take up his dwelling place right there with me. And God doesn't look down his nose at me like the world does. God doesn't say, who are you? No, he made me. He made you. He knows us. And God says, if you take my son, if you love him and obey his word, I'm going to love you. I'm going to move in and make my home with you. And by the way, if God makes his home with us, who should we fear? You know, it's like somebody calls us out to the front porch and they say, I'm going to hurt you. Oh, wait, let me call somebody that's inside. God will take care of you. Well, that's the idea. God makes his home with us. And those are the words of Jesus. But better than the words of Jesus, maybe, is the action of Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, how many times have you heard this passage? It should never get old. Romans 5 and verse 8, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The ultimate statement of love. Christ, who left his home in heaven to come down here, live the way we live, resisted every temptation that came his way, became pure Lamb of God, and said, I will be offered for them. I will lay down my life for them. That's God's love. Don't ever doubt that God loves you supremely. Despite what we've done in our lives, despite the mistakes and sins that we've committed, God loves us. That's the reason Jesus died. Well, let's look at a couple of other statements here that show the powerful love of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Here, Paul says, in him, he's talking about Christ. If we are in Christ, we have every spiritual blessing, verse 3. But now in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. My best definition of lavish is what we do for our grandsons at Christmas. They don't need that stuff. But man, we're gonna do it because we love our grandsons and we're just gonna lavish our love on them. We'll take that to another level. With God. He loves us, and he's going to lavish his grace upon us. That's amazing, because again, we know who we are, and so does God, but he loves us anyway. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, Dawson read this for us earlier. Let's look at it again. First of all, we'll go back to verse 4 of 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 4. Because there it makes this statement that again gives us comfort as we look at a world filled with fears. It says in verse 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. He'd been talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist, and a lot of people, oh, the Antichrist, it's going to come. Actually, John says there's several Antichrists. It's not one figure that will arise at a certain time in history. It's anybody that opposes Christ. But he says, you're from God, you've overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Why is he in us? Because he loves us. And now look with me at verses 16 through 19. So we have come to know and to believe that love that God has for us. For some people, that takes a long time to believe that. Because again, they're judging God by people. Don't ever judge God by people. Judge God by what he tells you about himself. He says, beloved, we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in him abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, because perfect love, There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. He first loved us. Knowing who we are and what we've done, he loved us, and he loves us still. Love cast out fear. Think about the prodigal son. We talk about him a lot. How did he feel as he watched his bank account drop? I mean, he didn't have that app on his smartphone that showed the funds dropping slowly, but they were. He probably had a bag of money or something, and it got lighter and lighter until there was nothing left. Did that cause him fear? What am I going to do now? And as he watched friend after friend walk away, you got nothing to offer me now, I'm leaving. And now it's just him and the pigs. Did he fear? Did he need to fear? Because when he went home thinking my dad may hire me as a day laborer, his dad said, no, you are my son. All that I have is yours. You're going to come in and be my son again. You've never stopped being my son. He learned, I didn't need to fear. I did, but I didn't need to. And I say the same about us. In my lifetime, there's been some fearful events in this world. I think about the polio outbreak of the 1950s. I didn't really know much about it. I was really young at that time. The Cuban Missile Crisis in the 1960s and the resulting Cold War that developed. I do remember hearing those sirens where you had to practice for, you know, drills where atomic bombs may be dropped on America. It was a real fear, and we had to practice what to do, you know, in the schoolroom when those things might drop on us. The civil rights movement that happened in the 1960s, and many people feared, well, we're headed for another civil war. The horror of September 11th, 2001, and the fear of terrorism that began growing in our minds. And then who can forget the COVID pandemic just a few years ago? There have been lots of fearful moments in our world. Lots of opportunities for us to be like Chicken Little, saying the sky is falling, everything is gone, it's lost. And you probably have heard about the doomsday clock. The doomsday clock that says this is how close we are to being extinct as a human species. And right now, I checked it yesterday, we're setting on 85 seconds to midnight. Now that's not God's statement. That's people. I'm thankful to say God has the final word. God loves us. We don't have to fear. The world all around us is going to crumble with fear. We don't have to fear, because love conquers fear. One more statement in the Old Testament, Zephaniah Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. I love this, and I hope you will as well. It's true. The Lord your God is in your midst. We sing a song that says this. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with singing, loud singing. What does that say to you? The word love is there, but the whole statement is about God's love for us, how much he cares about us. And when we start whimpering and crying, God says, as it were, come here. Let me comfort you. Let me quiet you by my love. Thank you, Lord. We need that. We need that so much. If you're not a child of God this morning, you can have that love, that assurance of that love, by putting yourself in the hands of God. How do you do it? You follow the plan that's revealed in the New Testament. You hear the gospel. You make a decision. Do I believe that Jesus is God's son? You have to believe that. And if you do, then you're ready to move on to the next step, and that is deciding, I'm not going to live in sin anymore. I'm going to repent of it, turn away from it. I'm going to confess Jesus to anybody that may ask, and I'll obey his command that says, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Have you done that? We're ready to help you this morning if you're ready. And then live faithfully. We all sin, though, as Christians. And then he says, repent of those sins, pray for forgiveness, and I'll forgive. God loves us. Can we help you? Come as we stand and sing. couple of things I'll mention quickly. One, we've got a family back with us that's been away for a while. Josh and Caitlin Bacon. Is Caitlin here today? She's back with the kids, I guess. This is one of the sons of Jerry and Charla Bacon, the grandson of Charlotte Bearfield, and he's been away doing residence and in medicine. Moved back here. I think you're working in Bristol now. Is that right, Josh? And they have two young girls, and we're just so happy to see Josh and Caitlin back with us. And I'm sorry, I don't know your daughter's names, but we'll get that out in Daily Focus tomorrow. But we're anxious to renew those acquaintances, and good to see Tyler back with us. He's recently moved back to this area, Josh's brother, and so just so happy to have all the Bacons here with us. Brought the Bacons home, right? And I'm really happy to announce a couple identifying with us as members of our family. Connie and J.K. Perkins, you've known them for a while. They've been worshiping with us for a while. They were talking with us a couple of months ago. We want to go ahead and make it official, place our membership. And the Sunday they were intending to do it's when I was out with COVID. So they said, well, we'll wait on that. And things just kept getting in the way. But Connie and J.K. are beloved by all of us who've gotten to know them. Their two sons, Evan and Jace, are with us. But today, Connie and J.K. want to be recognized as part of our family here. Would you all stand for just a minute and let people see who you are? Surely you know them, but we're just so happy to have them officially as part of our family. They've been part of our family for a long time. But if any of you are thinking the same, we'd love to talk with you about it as well. But let's take a moment and go to God in prayer. Lord, again, we thank you so much for all of your love and mercy. We thank you for the church that Jesus died for and established. Thank you for all the good people that help us, encourage us, teach us. We just thank you, Lord, for the blessing of this church. And we thank you, Father, that J.K. and Connie are now part of our family officially. We love them and we are anxious to better utilize their talents and their love. We're so thankful also that Josh and Caitlin are back with us again. And Father, we're just anxious for more to come and be a part of the family here so that our light may grow brighter and brighter in this community. Bless us, Lord. We love you. We need you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing Highly Exalted. This one will only be on the overhead.
Thank you.
As we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper, is there anyone who did not get the communion kit on your way in? If you just raise your hand, the gentleman in the back will bring them to you. We sang the song moments ago, Love Lifted Me. I was thinking about that as we sang it. It's all about, you know, how love lifted me. When I was sinking deep in sin, love lifted me. And then I thought, what lifted Christ up on that cross? Physically, it was Roman soldiers. Spiritually, it was love. Love lifted him before love lifted me. What held him on the cross? Three nails? No. Love held him on the cross. How did he endure what he did for so long? Physical stamina? No. Love. What rolled the stone away? Love. What brought him out of that grave? That borrowed grave that he only needed for the weekend anyway. Love. What kind of love does an individual have to manifest, to have, to do that, to go through those kind of things? For people thousands, maybe years into the future. A perfect love. Before he left, he set up this very simple feast as a memorial, as his headstone, if you will. To remember him, to remember that love that it took to lay down on that cross and allow people to mutilate his body, knowing that at any minute he could have changed things. We sing he could have called 10,000 angels. We also know the power of one angel. I'm glad he chose the way he did so that we can have hope. We can see that kind of love. We can see that kind of dedication and commitment. And though we pause and we say right now, you know, we prepare our minds for the partaking of the Lord's Supper, folks, that should be on our minds every day. And you know what I find? The more I think about it, the harder it is to do some of the stupid stuff that I always do. And we're all prone to stupid stuff. So let's focus our minds a little bit more, not just now, but even after we leave, tomorrow afternoon, Thursday morning, Friday evening. I challenge you to catch yourself singing, Love Lifted Me, this week. We have the unleavened bread. Jesus says, take, eat. This is my body. This is my flesh.
And in the first century, the church came together. This was their purpose. Right here. Acts 20 and 7 says, when the disciples came together to break bread, that was this, not to have lunch, was to partake of the communion, to join together our hearts and our thoughts and remember what took place nearly 2,000 years ago. So as we partake of the bread, let's kind of remember, challenge yourself to remember his human body. What his human body went through in those hours before the crucifixion, before the nails, before the spear. Think about what he went through, what his physical body went through. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the love that your son exhibited in his willingness to lay down his life for the sins of this world, for my sins. We're thankful for this memorial that he set up, for this bread that he said represents his flesh, his body. As we partake of it now, Father, we pray that we will examine ourselves, that we will look deep into our hearts and be honest with ourselves about how we're partaking of it. Are our minds focused? Are we thinking about those things that we should? And Father, we pray that we'll continue to think of these things throughout the week. We ask you now to bless this bread and each one that partakes of it as we do so in memory of your Son and his sacrifice for us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Flesh and blood. That's all the Roman soldiers could take, was the flesh and the blood. They couldn't conquer the love. They couldn't conquer the spirit. They couldn't conquer the will. And they couldn't conquer the commitment. As they carelessly spilt the blood of God the Son. I think about it. When I think about the blood, not only in the scourging, but I think about it as he hung on the cross with his arms spread and in the position that he was. And I think about how precious one drop of his blood would have been and how many of those drops fell into the dirt at Calvary. The blood from the only Son of God in the dirt of a criminal's crucifixion site. Are you thankful yet for what he did? Can you feel the love? Let's pray. Father, we continue in this memorial. So we're about to partake of this fruit of the vine, which brings to our mind that blood of your Son that was shed for our sins, that was carelessly spilled into the dirt of Calvary, We pray that as we remember him, we remember everything about him. That we not allow the thoughts and cares of this world to infiltrate our minds to the point where we forget, that love that took him there. We ask you to bless this cup, bless each one that partakes of it. May we constantly remember the love that fills this cup. In Christ's name we pray, amen. We now have the opportunity as Christians to give back to God a portion of what he's blessed us with. We can't outgive God. We can't pay for what he's given us. But we need to ask, what do we give him? Do I give him of my time? Do I give him of my talents? Do I give him of my finances? Do I give him space in my calendar? Scripture says God loves a cheerful giver. Are you giving out of obligation or so I can check a box? God doesn't need that. He needs you to give yourself first. And whether you give online or in the baskets in the rear, however you choose to do it, I hope you're doing it. God hopes you. He wants you to do it cheerfully, with a willing heart, something you've already purposed in your heart. It's not a chore. It's a blessing. Let's pray. Father, once again, we acknowledge you as the ultimate giver. You've given us everything, the very breath that we breathe, the muscle spasms in our chest that causes our hearts to beat are from you. The many comforts that we take for granted that so many of our brothers and sisters today do not have, do not enjoy. Father, we pray that you'll be with us as we give back a portion of what you've blessed us with already. Father, we know we're just giving it back to you. It's already yours. Help us to do so willingly, not grudgingly, that we can continue in the many ways, the many missions, and the many activities that our congregation is involved in here to be that light in this community and indeed around the world. We ask you to bless this gift. Bless the givers which give it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pray with me again, please. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we are able to gather here today. Father, we give thanks for you. We give thanks for your love. You express it to us every day. It's all around us. And no better expression of that was through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Just got a few announcements here. The wedding shower of Jace Perkins and Madison Johnson will be downstairs from 2 until 3 p.m. today. The smile pack distribution will be today from 4 to 5 p.m. in the upstairs area. The families coming to pick up their backpacks of school supplies will be greeted by members of the Iglesia de Cristo and shown around the building. They hope to encourage more to join us in worship and Bible studies. The deadline for the Transform Ladies Conference is July 31st. All expressions of interest and payments must be confirmed by this date to secure a spot and assist with evening event planning. For registration details or questions, please contact April or George Ann directly. 2026 Mountain Empire Men's Day is August 1st, less than 2 weeks away. Our theme will be It's Time, and we're urging every man at Central, young and old, to come to be part of this strengthening and encouraging day. To sign up, please go to our website. Upcoming Central events, the 55 plus dinner will be downstairs tomorrow at 5 p.m. In the bulletin, it says 6. On the Daily Focus, it says 5. So there's no confusion. It is 5 o'clock. If you plan to attend, please sign the list on the announcements board. Dorcas Group will meet this Wednesday at 1. Digging Deep will meet this Wednesday at 5:30. Remember these in prayer. Danny C. was admitted to Johnson City Medical Center last week after suffering a stroke following an automobile accident. He is paralyzed on his left side, but is beginning to see more improvements. Justin W., an employee at Providence Academy, is hospitalized after falling while skating on Friday evening and hitting his head. A brain bleed developed, and he is in a great deal of pain. As of this morning, he was showing improvement. Jan B. is recovering from a difficult sinus and upper respiratory infection. She was doing better but suffered a setback on Friday. She has been given additional antibiotics and steroids and asked for our continued prayers. For more prayer requests announcements, see today's bulletin. Also, it gives me great pleasure to put Tim Haywood before you as proposed deacon. I know he's no stranger to anyone here. He's done so much work in the church already. I'm sure a lot of you are thinking, oh, I thought he already was. But if you have any comments, negative or positive, bring them to the elders within the next 2 weeks. If nothing scriptural is brought forth that would keep him from being a deacon, he will be installed. The last announcement I have, on behalf of the elders, we thank you for a great turnout this morning. However, we've noticed on Sunday evenings and Wednesdays the attendance is down quite a bit, and we really would hope you would put some emphasis on coming back. Tim is really just as good on Sunday evening as he is in the morning, especially if he gets a nap in. If he gets a nap, he really brings it. No, he's really good. And since the official greeting is we're blessed, let's make the official Sunday departure as see you tonight. So when you're on the way out and you talk to each other, say see you tonight. And on that, I will see you tonight. You're dismissed.